God bless you. Appreciate that. Never a burden he cannot bear. Amen. You know, as we were singing the song tonight, How Great Thou Art, I was noticing that some of the words are a little different in that copy than they are in some of the other copies. And it reminded me that that happens in Bibles sometimes too. And let me tell you why some Bibles are different a little bit. There are nowadays, there are copyright laws, and you have to change the text pretty much in order to publish it under a different name or with a different company. And so copyrights are funny things. Now, the good old-fashioned King James Bible is public domain. No one has a copyright on it. I guess maybe the Lord does, but he shares that with everybody. But when you go to purchase a Bible or when you decide to use a Bible, check if it has a copyright in it. Because if it has a copyright in it, it could be one of two things. Now, one, if it's a Bible that has a lot of different notes in it, the copyright may just be on those notes. But if it doesn't have a lot of notes in it and it has a copyright, then they've altered the text in some way sufficiently enough to get past all the copyright laws. And so another thought was on our message last week about a forever Bible. I'm glad I have a forever Bible. In your forever Bible tonight, let's go to the book of Acts chapter 13 to start off tonight. We'll look at that, and then we're going to look at several verses around there as we consider the fact that others might know, that folk might know. Acts chapter number 4, and we're going to look at one verse to start with. And before I start, I want to get this just a little bit. Chapter number 4. And we want to look at verse number 13. The Bible, well, let's back up to verse number 12 so we can be sure we get the gospel in the message tonight. Verse number 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Amen. Of course, that's the name of the Lord Jesus. And a lot of folk have come along and, you know, they try to introduce a lot of other people into the ministry and of the Lord Jesus, and some of them try to honor him by saying that this person's going to help him save you, and that person's going to help you save you. And Jesus doesn't need any help to save you; he just needs your cooperation. And if you'll cooperate with Jesus and you'll admit to him something that you and him both know, and that is that you're a sinner. And that your sin has weighted you down and has taken you on the broad road that leads to destruction. You have to understand that, and you have to admit that to the Lord. And then you have to believe that Jesus loved you enough to pay the penalty that he paid on Calvary's cross for you. He suffered for you like he suffered for me. And I really do believe, and you say, "Well, Brother Sutton, that's pretty selfish of you." But I do believe if I'd have been the only sinner that needed a Savior, Jesus loved me so much, he would have come just for me. But he'd have come just for you too. And then you have to believe that his death followed his burial, his resurrection 72 hours later followed his burial, and then he rose again, and he ever lives today to make intercession for us. They saw him, over 500 people one time saw him. That's enough. Listen, that's enough even with a crooked White House. That's enough to put somebody in jail forever. 500 witnesses, I would think it would be. And so we find that the Bible's true, and you can go to heaven with Jesus. You can't go to heaven without him. Doesn't matter what else you have. You can't go to heaven without Jesus. I trust you'll understand that. So here in verse number 14 was where our text is, or verse number 13, excuse me. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." How would you like for Jesus to write a book that when the mountains have all failed and when the Chesapeake Bay has dried up and gone away, When earth is no more, you'll still be able to pick up a book, and it's going to say that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Forever and always, it's going to be there that they were unlearned and ignorant men. But that caused them to notice some other things too, and we want to talk about some of those things tonight. First off, we find that there's four things that they noticed about Peter and John. The first thing was they noticed that they were brave. They were bold. They were bold. And you know, if you're a child of God and it's not your nature to be bold, you need to understand the working of God in your life, and you need to step out of your comfort zone and talk to people about the Lord Jesus. You say, Brother Sutton, that's your personality. No, it's not. No, it's not. I didn't flunk speech class twice because I love to get up in front of people and talk to people. I flunked speech class twice because I could not do that. I didn't have that in me to talk to people like that. My teacher told me, said, write it out and read it, and if you'll do that, I'll give you a passing grade and get you out of here. I think she was thinking of herself. She didn't want me back next year. So I did. I wrote it out. Had it in my desk. The teacher called on me, and I said, I don't have it. So don't talk to me about not having any courage. Don't talk to me about you're born that way. And here's another thought, too. If I would miss two or three days of speaking to people on the street, in the businesses, shopping centers, and one thing, if I missed two or three days, I'd revert back to that same fear of talking to people. But we need to understand that what Jesus has done for us, He wants to work through us, and we don't have to be superheroes. We don't have to be Superman or Batman, or we can just be sinners saved by grace who are in love with the one who saved us. And if we'll open our mouth, He'll fill our mouth and our heart with things to brag about Him when we talk to people. And so the Bible says here that they were bold. They were bold in their witness for Christ. Secondly, it says that they were unlearned. Unlearned. Now, I don't know unlearned in what area. I don't know. Will Rogers used to say that we're all foolish, we're all ignorant, just about different things. And sometimes we prove that, but they were unlearned. And then the second thing, the third thing is they were ignorant. They were ignorant. Now, there's some things that I'm really ignorant about. And I, you know, somebody said you've got to know your shortcomings and got to know your limitations. And there's some areas that if I have trouble with my computer, I call somebody that I think can fix it. I call Brother Nathan, or I call Brother Matt, or I call somebody that I think can fix it, because I can't fix it. Any of my fixing is just going to make it worse. They were unlearned, and they were ignorant men. But then they saw a fourth thing in their life, too. The Bible says they saw that they had been with Jesus. And, you know, here's a thought for you. I'll get that a little bit later if I don't forget. How does somebody know if you've been around somebody that's smoking? You know, if you don't have to worry about that so much anymore, because for whatever reason the world has turned against the tobacco industry, and they pass all kinds of laws against smoking in different places and so forth. My wife and I were driving down the road the other day, and we see this, it says it's a cigar lounge. There's two of them in 301 just as you pass through Waldorf, and a cigar lounge, a special restaurant, a special place where you can go in and you can smoke your cigars in the presence of somebody. They can watch you light up your $20 cigar and get cancer while you're smoking it, and you can have fellowship while you're doing it. Two different places. How does somebody know if you've been around someone, maybe in the workplace or somewhere, and you've been around someone that's been smoking? How would somebody know that? You know, you walk into your house, your wife goes, have you started smoking again? No, I was with so-and-so, we were such and such. They know by the smell that you've been with somebody that's been smoking. You just tell. You've been with somebody that's been smoking, or you've taken the habit up. Somebody asked Billy Sunday one day, said, "Will smoking send you to hell?" He said, "No, sir. Smoking won't send you to hell. It'll just make you smell like you've been there." Smoking. And then how does Mama know if Junior got into the, you know, he opened up the cake plate and took the cover off of it and got a big old piece of that chocolate cake? How does Mama know that happened before she ever goes into the kitchen? She knows that because of all the chocolate that's all over the youngster's face. She can tell by looking at him that he's been eating the cake, and whether he's supposed to or not, that's another question. And then we find another one. How does an officer know if a person has been drinking or if they've been smoking some type of wacky weed or something? How would an officer know that? By the way that the person acted. They're driving erratically, they're walking erratically, they're talking erratically something, but by their actions they would know those things. Well, how did these people know that Peter and John had been with Jesus? How did they know that? They saw their boldness, but they knew that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they knew that they'd been with Jesus. Well, first off, I think that both before and after, they were constant in their service. There was a steadiness in their service. There was a constant. There was a consistency in how they acted. Notice over, if you will, in chapter 5, where it's real plain to see this, beginning in verse number 41, chapter 5, verse 41, the Bible says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." You see, it was just a daily thing. It was an everyday thing. It was an all-the-time thing. It wasn't something that happened once every 3 months or once every year when the moon turned blue or the moon turned red. It was something they did consistently. If we're going to be effectively used by the Lord, we're going to have some consistency in our life. We're going to have some things that we won't give up. We're going to have some things we're not going to give over. We're going to have some things we're not going to give up on and not going to stop on. We're just going to be consistent. If it was right yesterday, it's right today. And if it was wrong yesterday, it's wrong today. And if it was wicked then, it's wicked now. Sin doesn't change in the eyes of God. No matter what they decide up in Washington, D.C., less than an hour from here, no matter what the vote is, no matter how the vote is split, if God's against it, he's still against it. Amen. And if God's for it, he's still for it. And so we need to have some consistency in our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, we find this about our Savior, that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I'm thankful when I came to Jesus in 1966, I didn't have to check. I didn't have to go and say, look at a calendar and say, well, is December a good month to get saved in, or do I have to wait till the spring? I didn't have to do that. Jesus is the same all the time. And then, of course, another verse that we use often is James chapter 1, verse number 17. The Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So not only is Jesus consistent, but the Father's consistent. Both of them are consistent. If it's wrong in Milwaukee, it's wrong in La Plata. If you ought to do it in Milwaukee, you ought to do it in La Plata, because they're consistent. It's always the same. In the book of Daniel, Daniel's one of our heroes. We have a song that we sing in Vacation Bible School and different things around children. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to take a stand. And we need to have people who will do that. And the Bible says of Daniel in chapter 6 and verse number 10, "Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, and the writing was that you weren't supposed to bow down to anybody except the king and his statue when the music was playing." And so the Bible says when he knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem. You know, if Daniel would have been like most people, he would have went there and acted like he was cold or acted like he was too warm, he had to shut the windows and pull the drape down. But he didn't. The Bible says he went in, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Listen to this. As he did aforetime. He didn't wait till the law was passed, you can't pray. He was doing it before, and he didn't quit because the law said he had to quit. He's going to listen to a higher law. He's going to listen to what God says, and so he just continued to do that. And it wasn't something he tried to hide. He didn't do it in the back corner somewhere. Didn't go out in the alley somewhere hiding from people and do it. He just did it. And the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 17 and verse number 2, the Bible says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." And so they just, the men that God has used, they were just constant in their service. They just did the same thing over and over and over. And someone says, "Well, doesn't that get boring?" Oh, no. No, you find so many different people in different places and different situations and different stories, and no, it never gets boring. It becomes exciting. It becomes challenging. It becomes just the thing you look for when you go out the door. You start hunting for people to talk to about the Lord Jesus, not knowing what's going to happen, but knowing that God will lead you to people. God will give you the opportunity if we're willing to take the opportunity. These men were constant in their service. We need to be constant in some things. We ought to be constant in our Bible reading. If I were to ask you today, where are you at in your Bible reading for 2023? Where are you at in the New Testament, in the Old Testament? Where are you at? And if you're following the schedule that we have here, then you're probably just finished Matthew, and you're just getting ready to finish Matthew, getting close, and you're in the book of Exodus and reading through and God telling you all the things they had to go through then under the law, and makes you appreciate grace. You ought to be constant in your reading. And then you ought to be constant in your prayer life. You know, somebody says, "I pray 3 times a day, and that's what the Bible says that that Daniel did. But that wasn't just when he ate breakfast, lunch, and supper. That was times he set apart that he could talk to God. And I think that you'll find that the more you talk to God, the more he'll talk to you. I believe that's the way it works. And so we need to be people who are consistent in our prayer. We need to be people that are consistent in our witness. And these things ought to constrain us. They ought to be constant in us and for us. They ought to work in our hearts and in our lives. Someone said that habits can be formed, any habit can be formed within 18 to 254 days. Now, 254 days, that's almost a year. But habits, good habits, can be formed in that length of time. And they said habits like getting up and going to your prayer closet, whether it be your office or your kitchen table or your easy chair or outside in the lawn chair, wherever, but you get in 22 days, your body, your mind can be programmed to where when you get up, you go through your morning ritual, and the first thing you do then is pick up your Bible and go wherever you usually go. 22 days, 3 weeks and 1 day. And your body, your mind, your heart, your emotions will be programmed to go do that. Now, that's not 3 weeks. 3 weeks. We need to be programmed. We need to have the habit of meeting the Lord Jesus early in the day. And then in the book of James, chapter 1, and verse number 8, it says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." I don't know if you've ever thought much about that, but unstable people are the ones they put in sanitariums and ones they put in hospitals, the ones they put in prison and lock up and so forth, because they're unstable. Don't know what they're going to do. Here's a tough thought. If a person claims to know God, they're either consistent or they're double-minded. One of those two. I'm just reading the book. And so these people looked at Peter and John and said, you know, the consistency in their service tells me they've been spending time with Jesus. The second thing I find out about them, chapter 3, if you will, drop back over there for just a little bit. Chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says they were concerned about society. They were concerned about society. The Bible says in verse number 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. We find here that when the man asked for an offering, he wanted silver, he wanted gold, he wanted money, they couldn't give him what he wanted. And so many times, listen, we don't have deep enough pockets. We don't have the ability to give the world what they want. They want money and they want gifts and they think that they deserve these things and they beg for them, and we have social religions that give them these things, just enormous amounts of these things, and they expect everybody to do that. They think that Christians are supposed to pay their rent and pay their gas bill and pay their utility bill, and we can't do that for everybody. When we can't give them what they want, praise God, we can still give them what they need. Amen. And that's a clear message about Jesus Christ. And then the decision's up to them, but it's up to us to give it to them. Real concern on our part will cause us to talk to them about the Lord Jesus. Oh, I could tell you of men who were just real down and outers. We're going to be talking a little bit later about a man that I'm going to ask you to support, and just comes from the most heinous background that you'd ever think of. And he's still pretty rough sometimes, but God's using him in a mighty way, and I'm glad that he's my friend, and I'm glad that he's your friend, because you'll know him when I tell you about him. But God can use people once they're saved. But how can they get saved without someone going? How can they hear without a preacher? We've got to be concerned about society. The world, you know, they're concerned about society, so they start another soup kitchen. They start another welfare program. And all those give them things to listen. You don't do the work of God by making a man healthy, wealthy, and wise on his road to hell. Healthy, wealthy, and wise doesn't keep you out of hell. Jesus keeps people out of hell. And we need to have a concern for society. And then, thirdly, they claimed the Lord's strength. They claimed God's strength. They labored in His strength. In chapter 4 and verse number 31, the Bible says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. When the report of that meeting got out, because they were assembled, the Bible says, that's church talk, that's church language. And when the message got out of what happened in verse number 31, those people that weren't there said, my, oh, my, that would have been a good service to have been at. Kind of like Thomas, when he missed the first time that Jesus met with his disciples after his resurrection, and he said, except I put my hand in his side and my finger in the wounds of his hand, I won't believe. And Jesus shows up next week and says, go ahead, right here, right there. And he was ashamed that he hadn't been there. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Well, they claimed his strength. They worked with him. When they had prayed, and the Bible says in James chapter 2, you lust. Surely nobody here is guilty of that. Lust. Running under the cover of love, wanting something that God has said no to, at least so far. You lust, and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. These folk claimed God's power. They labored in his power. In Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Sometimes we think if we just know a little more, if we just something else, but we wanna get away from doing it God's way. We wanna pay off some big, you know, if I give more, maybe I'll be excused from this part. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says that it's not by might. It's not by power. It's not by the might of education. It's not by the power of money. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And in our text, it says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. It doesn't say, and maybe that's the boldness that they saw earlier. Maybe that's why that they saw such bold people, because they spake the word of God with boldness. Notice they didn't speak in tongues. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't speak with tongues, they didn't do that, wasn't necessary. The Word of God was being published, the Word of God was being presented, wasn't necessary at that time, so they didn't. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 29 says, is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? God's word. Remember Jeremiah? Jeremiah was... God sent him into the ministry, and God said, hey, listen, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to mock at you. They're going to disdain you. They're going to hate you. They're going to do everything bad they can to you. He ends up throwing him into a pit, and the waller in the mud and the mire in the bottom of that pit, and there's all kinds of things. And he knew going in that was going to happen. God told him it was going to happen. So finally he got discouraged. Do you ever get discouraged? Do you ever decide, I'm going to just quit? God didn't do what I told him to do, so I'm going to quit. Well, that's where we make a mistake. It's not our job to tell God what to do. It's his job to tell us what to do. We're just supposed to say, yes, sir. Jeremiah came to a place where he said, I'm going to quit. But Jeremiah had already committed an inability to quit. He had been reading the Bible. He had been studying the Word of God. He'd been hiding God's word in his heart that he had not sinned against God. And the Bible says that God's word in his heart was like a fire. And it built up in him, and he said, I could not stay. Even promising himself, I'm going to quit. This is it. This is the last day. I quit. But his word was in his heart like a fire. And it just built up, and he said, I would have exploded if I hadn't found somebody to talk to about the Lord. You know, there's a value in this book that you won't find in any other book. If you're reading the right Bible, if you're listening to the right Bible, there's power in that Bible than there is in any other book on the top side of God's earth. And so the Bible says that it caused the people to realize this is not a work of men. This is not a work of men. And then we find that they had courage for the Savior. That's, we talked about boldness, but walk with me through, starting in chapter 4, verse number 19. The Bible says, Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And then over in chapter 5, verse number 28, the Bible said, saying, did we not straitly? They arrested them and brought them in before the high priest, and they asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And then in chapter 7, if you will, chapter 7, and we're going to begin in verse number 54. This, is, of course, is when Stephen was stoned. Remember, he had been talking to him about the Lord Jesus, and they didn't want to hear, and so they decided they were going to stone him to death. That's what happens here. Verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, he didn't stop and jump up and down and spit bubbles and speak in tongues. He, being filled with the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran on him with one accord. And there's that unity we were talking about today. That's the world's unity. Ran on him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I wonder if Saul of Tarsus would have ever gotten saved. I wonder if the Apostle Paul would have ever been born again if in that situation Stephen would have just said, boy, this is a rough crowd. I guess I'd probably better just drink a cup of coffee with them and go to the house. I guess maybe I can go to the house and pray for them, but these guys are serious. No. He had their attention. And so he preached Jesus. He died for it, but he preached Jesus. And they indicated that it was more than a lifestyle. Stephen didn't have just a lifestyle. He had that. But he also had a deep yearning just to do what God wanted him to do, be where God wanted him to be. And then we find that they were calm in the strife. You know, sometimes, and I'm preaching to myself, sometimes we the strife gets to running and the heat gets up and the battle's roaring in your ear. And it's easy, if you're not careful, it's easy to take on the flesh and answer flesh with flesh. That's not what they did. Chapter 4, verse number 19. And we looked at this one before, but the Bible says, and Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto them, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You know, we find that they didn't get radically upset about it. They just said, here's matter of fact. Reminds me of Daniel, as he did aforetime. The three Hebrew children, you remember them. He said, you know, the devil's talking about all the different things that society's going to do to them. And they said, our God is going to deliver us. But if not, O king, know this. If not, O king, know this. And they were just calm in the strife. Paul and Silas at midnight. The Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. After being beaten, shackled, put in stocks, laughed at, ridiculed, mocked. But at midnight, they were calm in the strife. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12, the Bible says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed against him or unto him against that day. When the people saw these attributes in the lives of these men, they said, there's only one thing can explain this. Just one thing. They've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. And a long time ago, the Lord said to me, if you want those attributes in your life, you're going to have to spend more time with me. You're going to have to. There's no other way. You can't work it up, work it out, work it over. You can't pump it up. You can't emotionally get it. If you want people to know that you've been with Jesus, Brother Sutton, you're going to have to spend time with Jesus. And let me commend Bethel Baptist Church. I have more time to study the Word of God here than I have in any church I've pastored. And it's because when I came, the folk that voted for me to come said, it's your job to preach the Word of God. And they've let me study so I can do it. And the more I study, the more time I spend with the Lord, the more I want to tell people about Him. And so I've come to the conclusion that to have these victories of being with Jesus, you just have to be with Jesus. There's no shortcuts. There's no easy ways. There's no cut across. If you want the power that comes from being with Jesus, if you want to have these attributes in your life, if I want to have more, and I do want to have more power with the Lord. I've not arrived by any stretch of the imagination. And that only comes by spending more time with the Lord. I'd ask you tonight to consider that and to try it. Try it for that 21 or 22 days and see if your life doesn't change in every aspect of your life. Meeting with Jesus regularly, talking to Him on regular intervals, and speaking to Him at special times during the day when things come up. Stop and just thank you, Lord, for that. Or God reminding you, thank you for reminding me, Lord. And talk to Him and spend more time in the Bible. Talk more about Him to other people. And see if in 22 days, less than a month, if everything in your life doesn't have more reason, doesn't have more sanity, doesn't have more joy, happiness, peace, satisfaction, all the things that people go out here looking for are right here and right here. They knew that they had been with Jesus. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed.